The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
What a fine episode of UFC Unfiltered. Mark Henry calls in. Paige Van Zandt calls in. Matt and I josh around. Matt sings.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again!
He's out!
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Ah, indeed we are.
Yes, we are, Jimmy. Yes, we are.
Matt and I was showing Matt my new jiu-jitsu move that I invented.
It's good.
It's where I fake throw a punch real slow, and when the guy goes to block it, I lower my arms at my sides, and I just bend over and lead with my head and neck into his body.
Mm-hmm. It's actually like Gracie Jiu-Jitsu 101.
That's right, but I don't have my arms at my side. I'm not trying to grab you.
No, that's not
waist.
Good. No, that's not good.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to take my neck and hopefully barrel you over with my neck.
I thought you were closing the distance, but yet you made like you were having a confrontation, and then you used my like chest as like just a pillow, and you rested your head on
I
me.
Took a nap.
Like a little bird that fell out
yes,
of a nest.
Yes, I did. It's very nice. And you rescued me.
I'd rescue you, Jimmy. We have a lot of exciting stuff. Chris, the producer.
Mark Hendry is said, calling in.
Right.
You see, Hendry. Mark Hendry.
Why are you calling him Hendry?
Because you received Goodfellas.
Oh, Hendry.
I'm trying to bang this broad, Hendry.
I was just watching clips of him from Casino the other day.
Casino?
Casino. Now you're making me talk fucked up. What did I just say?
Casino.
You're right?
Yeah.
Mike threw the mic at me.
Oh, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, Joe Pesci's my hero. But what were we talking about before that, though?
My mother always called him Joe Pesci.
Come on, man.
She would always say
what
that.
What was I saying before? That
she would say, Joe Pesci, I like him.
Oh, I said Chris the producer.
Say,
you cut
shut
me
up,
off.
Yeah.
Chris the producer.
Yes.
He said that there's a lot of gossip. And I heard a little.
Yep.
But I didn't get into any details because I like to come here and almost get it fresh.
Well, here's the gossip.
What?
Mark Henry and Paige Van Zandt are calling in today.
Well, that's not gossip. That's happening.
We hope. Now, for their roles in UFC 229, the melee, Khabib has received a suspension of 9 months, but of course it's retroactive to 229, which was October, and a $500,000 fine.
Wow.
Conor had a 6-month suspension, also retroactive, and a $50,000 fine. Khabib could potentially reduce his suspension by up to 3 months. He's just got to deliver an anti-bullying PSA.
Yeah, but what about wait? What about the money? Is he getting a discount with that? If he does
it's a lot of money. I mean, he did jump out into the fucking crowd, but that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, it's a lot. Definitely. And
half
Dana said as much on ESPN. He was like, he thought it was a little excessive, but it is what it is. I mean, I guess the good news is 6 months for both of them, retroactive October, is not the worst thing. They can get back in there, but, you know.
$500,000. But, I mean, here's the only upside. That $500,000 is, in a way, an investment into the next fight if they have it, because that will make it that much bigger. So he will make, because of that fight, it will sell more pay-per-views because of that after the fight shit.
Yeah.
And that $500,000 he will make up on the back end if he does this.
Fight. For sure. And I think for the way that the first fight went down, obviously Khabib, Conor held his own, but Khabib won that fight
very clearly.
This almost, not that you wanted any of this to happen, but this almost makes it, you kind of forget the result of the fight because of all this stuff that
and
happened.
And now you want to see a rematch. That,
yeah, right. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for selling, and again, they are in the business of selling pay-per-views. I mean, Mighty Mouse, was one of the best pound-for-pound fighters ever, and he couldn't get mostly main events in pay-per-views because he wasn't selling. You know what I mean? It's all about who buys the fights, no matter how great you are.
Well, let me tell you. I think that people are going to say something about Conor only doing the 50,000, but the thing with that Dolly situation, I'm sure he had to pay a lot more than half a million. I mean, I think to rectify that shit, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's a lot of cash. I'm sure he had to... He had to put out of pocket for that.
Yeah.
But, hey, I don't know. What else is going on? I don't give a fuck. I mean, I want to see these guys fight. No, I don't. I don't give a fuck anymore about that. I want to see them both fight again, is what I'm saying. Sure. About them fighting again right now. I mean, they were talking about Cowboy versus Conor. I'd watch that.
I'd love to see that.
I'd like that. I mean, personally, I'd rather see him fight Ally Quinta. But, hey, that's me.
Sure.
And I'm sure a lot of other people. But I'd watch Cowboy.
Sure.
But also the Khabib, I want to see him and Tony Ferguson finally go at it. So these are the fights I want to see, more so than them guys fighting again, because I don't think Conor really deserves it, to be honest with you. I mean, I think it was it was a one-way fight. You know what I mean? So, you know, hey, man. You know, I still like to see these guys back in action. So that's not the worst news in the world, as far as I feel bad. Khabib's got to pay $500,000, though.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, they took it out of them. They had kept half of his cut from his salary from the event, so they just took half of that then and gave him the rest back.
That's disgusting.
I think there is
$500,000. Come on,
it's a lot. Well, there's actually some stuff that I'm interested in both.
Can he appeal
about.
It?
And where does that money go, by the way?
So this was a settlement. It wasn't a roll. They would have had to have waited longer if the commission was going to go through the whole process.
But where
this
does
was
this,
a settlement, so he agreed to that.
Where does this money go?
I guess the commission keeps that. I don't know what they
what
do
the
with
fuck
it.
Do they do with
se-
it?
I mean, I guess some of this anti. But I'm purely guessing. I mean, I guess anti-bullying stuff, different initiatives.
Well, I would like to know where does this money go? Right. Where does it go? $500,000. You're getting fined $500,000. Where's it going?
Yeah, we could try to find out as we go.
I think we should find out, because there's only I mean, what are they doing? A fucking anti-bullying with CGI in it? How much are they going to cost with that shit?
I know. This really it's not a big expense.
You know? And what does Khabib got to say? If anything, Khabib was getting bullied. What the fuck does he got to do an anti-bullying thing?
They're just saying because it's probably something.
Fuck them.
Conor had to do it
fuck
also.
Them. Fuck them.
Conor was before them for something else. I don't remember exactly.
$500,000.
It's a lot of money.
$500,000, you fucking dirtbags.
Yeah, it's a lot of money, bro.
Calm down, you fucks. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. It's a lot of money.
I think they're disgusting.
Yeah, it's a lot of fucking
money.
You
know? Conor, and then they fucking broke Khabib. He's made him out of his mind. He loses it for a second. So what? You charge him $500,000. The guy's personally attacking a guy. Fuck.
What he did, though.
Fuck everybody but Khabib.
Jumping
right now.
into the stands. That was a very bad thing, because you put a lot of. Yeah. You put fans in physical danger and you opened the UFC up for a disaster.
Oh, absolutely.
Emotions aside, you can't jump. If it was in the cage, it has a lot less.
Yeah.
It's contained.
Right.
But you're literally risking a riot in the fucking thing.
I think the guy could fight this on grounds of temporary insanity. How about that?
Well, you know.
Well, he agreed. Again, they settled all this. So it's not like the commission ruled on it. They reached an agreement and they said, okay. But I understand your point. And to that point, some of the other news was during the Conor McGregor Khabib portion of this whole thing, because we'll get to John Jones in a minute.
Yeah.
The chairman, Anthony Marnell, and the executive director, Bob Bennett, said that they think the commission should take more of an active role in policing the language fighters use in the lead-up to fights, possibly levying fines or suspensions in the future. How do you feel about that?
Now, this is the thing with that. I feel, personally, that nobody should be policed on what they should say. But don't be surprised if there's repercussions if you cross certain lines. You can't start censoring what people are saying. I mean, what is that? Oh, no, he said, that's crossing the line with the pre-fight talk. I believe there's lines that shouldn't be crossed, but you can't try to enforce them by fining people. And I mean, you can't. But at the same time, you can't be surprised when there's some repercussions. So, I mean, it's a fine line with that. But once you start policing what people say, then it's a real problem. Then it's just going to be... How do you interpret that? Like, does
interpret. Because what's really offensive to me or you might not be as offensive to Chris.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, and in a Conor Nate matchup, you can say whatever the fuck you want to Nate Diaz. You know what I mean? It's not going to bother him.
The bottom line is they're going to fight. They're going to punch each other in the face and try to strangle each other, but they're saying don't use harsh words. Stop it. The bottom line is this. If you don't want to fight with a guy who talks shit like that, do not sign a contract to fight a guy who promotes that way.
There you go.
That's it.
There you go.
Goes for all of them. You don't want to fucking deal with Conor's shit? Do not sign a contract to fight Conor. Not a fighter alive would not sign a contract to fight Conor.
But the problem is this with that kind of talk is like sometimes a guy like Conor, like he's fighting Nate Diaz, he's talking shit to Jake Shields. It's like, yo, and Jake Shields is off to the side, like, all right, listen, man, I don't want to cause my boy a payday, but I'll fucking rip your arms off, you little fuck. Like, you know what I mean? Jake Shields will fucking destroy the guy. So it's like he's got to sit here and he's got to swallow some shit because he signed to fight his boy. I mean, what the fuck is that?
Well, I mean, it is what it is.
It's tough. Yeah,
it is what it is, but you can't expect. I mean, so you finally fucking break a guy. I feel bad for Khabib. I just feel bad for Khabib. He's got to pay that fucking money.
It's a lot of money, man.
It's a lot of money.
He tweeted politics forever. That was his comment.
He's a good man.
His two cornermen, Aboubakar Nurmagomedov and Zabir Tukhugov, each got a year suspension. And Khabib said through Ali Abdelaziz, his manager, that he's not going to fight. For as long as they're suspended, he's not going to fight. And he says he's not going to fight in Nevada anymore, which, you know, that's an immediate reaction, but we'll see what
it's about. I don't know. Nevada could be fucking idiots. I mean, what the fuck are they? I mean, I understand you don't want to, you can't jump a cage, but really, dude, 500,000? Really? Really? 500,000? Calm the fuck down. I don't know. I think it's, I think that they drove that dude mad and, he was so pent up, and then it's almost anticlimactic because he's beating the guy down, and then that he just taps out. It's like, oh, really? I still got to let some stuff out. Now you just fucking cried uncle, and now you're out of here. I don't get to beat up on you anymore. Oh, there's that fucking idiot outside the cage. Let me jump on him. You know what I mean? I don't know. Listen, you're talking to a guy that's got that same mentality as a guy that is a fighter, and if you get wronged, you just want to take care of that shit.
I don't think you would have. I honestly don't think you would have done that in the same situation.
I'm not jumping over it
because you've had a lot. You've had a lot of, intense rivalries.
And I'm too short to get over that. That's, cage.
I guess. That's
oh
true.
Come on, stop it! You
I can
right
make
under.
It, Jimmy. Can't get under the cage, Jimmy.
Walk under it.
Sneak right out onto the guards.
Yeah. Walk under it with your arms up.
Well, Jimmy. Jimmy, they say that words don't. That they don't hurt.
They do.
I disagree.
That's
I think
true.
They
Kimura's
hurt.
Hurt more though, so you win.
They fucking do, Jimmy. They do. I'll rip a shoulder right off. I miss.
Would it be hard to put me in a Kimura while I'm sitting?
Absolutely not. You know,
I've never been put in a Kimura.
Oh. And I never got a blumpkin. What does that mean? I don't judge you. You don't judge me.
How about we fucking imagine?
I don't want to. No,
imagine
no,
getting
no.
both at the same time. The fucking Kimura. The pleasure pain. You wouldn't know which was better.
You said to me earlier what you can't do one thing without the other.
Dancing and smiling?
Anyway.
That's not what I said.
That's not what you said at all. It was more vulgar.
Yeah.
Let's talk some more gossip. Go ahead. Give me something to get me in a better mood. I'm in a good mood.
Yeah.
And then you bring up shit to get me in a bad mood.
Well, they also spoke to John Jones. They gave him a one fight license to defend against Anthony Smith at 235 on March 2nd. Now, here's the condition. He's got to be tested at least twice a month by the Nevada State Athletic Commission while he is still being tested by USADA and Vada at his expense. Following 235, he's going to be subjected to twice monthly Nevada State Athletic Commission testing, a minimum, in addition to USADA and Vada testing. And he's going to have to receive a license again before his next 2019 fight, assuming no new positive tests come up along the way. Now, I'm going to guess that this thing, what are they called? Something picometers? Whatever.
Picograms.
Picograms. Yeah. If any of that pops up again, it's going to be considered a positive test, but hopefully they'll have some kind of a case history and they'll understand this is not about him taking new shit.
If it just pops up out of nowhere, it'll be a peek-a-boo-gram.
Oh, what? Boo.
yeah, I'm sorry, guys.
So I watched the whole hearing yesterday, the John Jones part, and it was not the most exciting thing to listen to. There's a lot of, like, you know, a lot of stuff going around science and all this stuff, but they talked about the idea of opening Pandora's box, that if they let John Jones get a license, even though he's testing positive for this stuff,
yeah.
Does that mean that everybody else tests positive? they came to the decision that no, if somebody has never tested positive for something and all of a sudden it comes up, they would be subject to the first time penalty the same way John was. And then if it was this particular thing or it was this pulsing effect, then they'd have to do it case by case. Well, and they are going to do that.
That's very interesting. But like less than three minutes ago, Jimmy, did you hear my Pico Boo joke before? I don't know if you heard
it. It's one of those things.
Because you ignore, I don't know what you would do. I think maybe
it's one of those things in life.
Did you ignore it?
It's one of those things in life.
Jimmy, because you said, it's called picograms. And I said, it might just pop. Well, I'm not going to do the joke again, but did you hear me or no?
Here's what it's like.
I'm going to get my hand over.
Let me explain what this is like.
What, Jimmy?
That joke is like.
Talk to me.
It's like
you're hanging out with Colin Quinn?
When you're Bobby Kelly?
A good comedian?
When you're dating a beautiful girl.
Okay.
And she comes over to your house for the second time.
Oh, boy.
And you walk into the bathroom.
Yes.
And you see a log floating.
No, you fucking know.
And you realize she has taken a big shit in your toilet. Oh. Now, you just flush it and pretend you didn't see it.
Right.
What is it going to do?
That's how I thought about that joke.
All right. What other news?
What was the joke, actually?
Let's just move along.
No, you didn't say peekaboogram meter. You didn't say peekaboogram.
What?
You wouldn't say peekaboogram. You wouldn't say that.
That's fucking. What kind of joke is? A kid will make that joke. Like a special kid. What do we got? What's next?
Well, I was just gonna say because Jimmy was saying that if he tests positive again,
Jiminy Norton,
if he tests positive, they'll count it as they're not gonna count it as a reoffense. They had I forget the doctor's name that was there, Eichner, I think, but he
Kevorkian.
Was saying he. I think he's no, he was okay. There. They wanted him to set a threshold. They were like, so say it goes over 100 picograms. Would that count as a reoffense? And this doctor was like, look, like you should really just take the data in totality, call me, and we'll have to investigate it on a case by case.
Right.
Because they really don't know enough about this stuff. It could jump to 110, say, and then it could be zero, and then it could be 80. And then, you know, so it seems like as long as there's no medium or short term metabolites found, as long as there's these continued long-term picograms, John's going to be fine, assuming he doesn't do anything else, but that, it seems like it's going to be okay.
Could you look up, only because you just keep saying the picograms, There was a Pikachu movie with Ryan Reynolds. Did that come out yet?
You know, I don't know.
Did that come out? Because that looked pretty good. And if it came out, I missed it. Could you look that up? Because
yeah,
I think the audience wants to know.
They definitely did.
It looks good.
It says 2019, so let's see.
I want to see if that came out.
Detective Pikachu? Is that what you're talking about?
I mean, I'm not a child, but yeah.
May 10th.
Oh, May 10th.
Such
all right, everybody.
May 10th.
All I know is May 11th is going to be a nice, juicy Matt's movie minute.
Yeah.
Are you going to see that movie?
The Pikachu? Detective Pikachu? Yes.
Okay.
Okay, Jimmy. What other news do we got? Because I'm getting happy again.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Talk about Pikachu. I get happy. Yeah. I'm not even. I didn't grow up on that.
No, of course.
That's not Dragon Ball Z. No, it's Pikachu. What do you call those things? The Pikachus. What is that?
Pokemon.
Yeah, that was after my time, Jimmy.
I guess.
You know,
that's
my.
We're older men.
You grew up playing Asteroids.
Yes, I did. We're men of a certain age.
It is, man. I didn't. I missed that. But it does look like a fun movie.
HIV negative, by the way. Got all my test results back.
Oh, congratulations. That's great.
Got all my test results back. Healthy.
Jimmy.
Healthy.
Healthy like a horse.
Even pretty good cholesterol.
You are healthy like I'm hung.
Oh, wow. Healthy like a mouse.
Fucking awesome. He walked into that one.
I set myself up. Yeah. I set it up. All right. What else we got, man? Because you said there's a lot of juicy news.
There is a lot.
Everything's been negative so far.
Give us some tidbits.
Walt Harris, UFC heavyweight.
This will be a positive.
I guess it's not super positive, but he's coming off a split decision win over Andrei Arlovsky at UFC 232.
And what happened to him?
He has been temporarily suspended by the California State Athletic Commission after a test came back positive for LGD4033.
What the fuck is that? It sounds like a droid.
It's a it says a muscle-wasting medication in the same family of selective androgen receptor modulators like Ostarine, which has been at the center of a number of the...
I was about to say, are you speaking English? What the
fuck
is
he talking
about? No,
I mean, I don't understand what any of that stuff means, but that's like the official what they said.
But what is it? A steroid?
It's something related to that, but it's been in a lot of tainted supplements. They've had this issue with a lot of other fighters, and he's already submitted the supplement that he thinks could have been tainted, so they still have to go through the whole thing.
But how are we still getting... Don't they give you a list of stuff that you can take?
Yep.
They're dangerous guys. I don't want to call anybody a moron.
Sure.
But seriously, guys, what the fuck's the matter with you? I feel comfortable saying that because I can handle myself. Fucking guys, seriously? I've been fighting for how long?
Are the supplements different now than they were, say, 10 years ago?
I don't even think I took anything supplements. I mean, what did I take? A protein shake?
Yeah, a banana?
Metrex? I don't know. Metrex? What do you call this shit?
I don't know.
Like, I don't know. Like, I never really... What the fuck are these people doing?
See, but the thing is, though, and I agree, because there is a and Jeff Nowitzki talks about it all the time. There's a huge list of stuff that they've third-party tested. And if you do test positive and we're taking one of those, you don't get in trouble because it's supposed to be clean.
Let's not.
But going back to your day, though, if you took something that you weren't intentionally trying to take, a steroid or anything like that, but you don't know. I mean, something might have had something in it back in the day, but they weren't testing the same way, you know?
Unless it's fucking... What I take? It would Metrex, and there was another one I
Valtrex.
Still on that one.
Excuse me. No, I. You know what I take a lot, Jimmy?
What's that? Do you start with a
Zantac? Zantac. I gotta do something about my
reflux.
I think that cauliflower pizza.
Well, it's the sauce. Sauce does it, buddy. That's very bad for reflux.
I had it last night. It was so good.
I'm sure it is, but
I want to see if it's cauliflower pizza, and it tastes like crust to me. I'll tell you right now, nice and crunchy. What kind of carbs are in there? I can't even see.
I don't know what they do to make it crunchy. I
mean, how do they? Well, you fucking toast it.
Cauliflower? What do I know?
Hey, man, I don't know. I'm not a chef. You know what I mean?
That's true.
I just know the ingredients to. I don't know. Not a good joke, obviously.
Well, you're saying you're not a chef, but what?
No, I was leading down a fucking nowhere, fucking a dead end, Jimmy. I'm not quick witted. I am actually. I'm not dumb.
Slow.
I'm not slow.
You're not a dim-witted fool.
Fucking Jimmy. Can we just get on to the next topic?
Yeah. So this is actually.
Why?
I think this will bring up the mood for you. This is funny. Max Holloway has been in Ireland over the last like few days. I guess he's on a trip there. And he went to the Jameson distillery, posted a picture of it, and put the caption, 238 years of innovation, hard work, and unmatched quality, not a watered down trend, a true pillar of Ireland, supporting the hardworking families in Dublin for generations. Thank you, Jameson Whiskey, for the hospitality, the number one Irish whiskey in the world.
See, he probably doesn't even realize Connor has a whiskey.
You don't think so?
No,
I think
why would he do that?
Well... I thought that was a proper response.
Connor's whiskey?
I'm coming out with a lot of...
Proper 12. Proper 12.
Is it?
Yeah.
I would drink some, but I know nothing about whiskey. I'm not a big drinker, Jimmy.
Called it watered down.
Max did, yeah.
You don't want to water it down. That's rough. You don't want that. Those are fighting words, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You don't say that shit.
He's implying that Connor's beverage is not a fine beverage like Jameson.
Right.
What are they called?
Jameson, Irish whiskey.
Oh, yeah, he's implying that it's a watered-down pile of shit.
Yeah.
I'm really happy that I found the block away. It's on on 37th.
What?
I was just going to say, don't say specifically where it is.
It's on 37th.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a new place. I usually get my kombucha at Penn Station, everybody. I'm letting the audience
you like
know.
That,
I'm
yes.
letting you know, too.
Yeah,
this is Jimmy. This is, I thought about you when I got this, Jimmy. It's cherry, but it's tart cherry.
I can't drink tart cherry.
You're a little tart.
Yes, I am.
Jimmy.
And I'm cherry,
it's so good. It's so good, and it's good for you, Jimmy. Good for your gut health. So I found, walking here, a block away. I don't got to walk in this frigid weather with a big kombucha bottle.
Of course
in
not.
My pocket. Is that a kombucha in your pocket, or are you happy to see me, Jimmy?
Especially if it's in the back. Look like you shit.
Anyway, I'm happy I found it a block away. Thank you, everybody. What else do we have?
Well, do you want a tidbit of news or do you want a recently announced fight?
News first.
News first, because I like to do the drum roll before
news
the fight.
News before fights.
Okay. I like to do the drum roll before the fight. And if your freaking uppity friend has a problem with me playing with my soundboard, he can go F himself along with that Nevada commission.
Sure. Once again, not my friend, just a person online.
Somebody's
cool. Somebody's like a fan of the show.
Oh, he's a fan of the show?
He's cool, yeah.
I'm sorry, buddy. Yeah. I apologize. I like that you sent me the tippy cup.
That's right. I think you're the sippy cup. I think your soundboard usage has been great.
Yeah.
And then now when I use it, I no longer get the, go ahead. That's good. there you go.
He didn't like that.
Well, that's when Christopher Producer's like proud that I was like able to use it again. Like a little boy is trying to walk and he's falling over and he walks a little bit. He's like, there you go.
He's like a dad who saw his son finally
special
bunt.
Yeah.
His bunt in Little League instead of swinging for the fences.
Yeah. I don't like to be treated like that.
I don't blame you. I wouldn't either. It's very offensive.
Like, it's no longer Chris the producer. I call him when he does that. He's condescending Chris.
You like that.
And I don't like it because it's not. It's
Daddy
it's,
Chris.
Wait, hold on.
That's cool.
No, hold on. There's three of us in the room.
That's right.
You like to be called Big Daddy. What do you like to be called?
Daddy.
And now he's Daddy Chris, and I am EAB.
Yeah.
Yeah. EHB.
What did he? What?
Yeah. Yeah. Eager houseboy, not eager Airbnb boy. Why would you be EAB?
I want to hear. Wait. Hold on. All right. So wait. Right. Did we go? Did we go over what you just said? What did you say?
I was asking if you wanted news or a fight. So
we didn't even get to it.
No, we didn't even get to it.
Okay, go get news first, and then we'll talk about the fight because I like to do the drum roll.
Sure.
And again, let's just go from there.
Kevin Lee, who we're all familiar with. Friend of the show.
Okay, right? I like Kevin Lee. This has nothing. Now, this is not about a fight.
This is not about a fight.
Okay.
Well, in a way. I mean, so he was talking. We had discussed that he was thinking about going up to welterweight after the Ali Quinta fight. He said the weight cut was rough. Now he's kind of reversed course on that. He wants to probably stay at lightweight.
You know what else is rough? Ali Quinta. He's very rough. Go ahead.
So Kevin Lee said,
"Yes,
there's the Gregor Gillespie kid who looked real good.
I like that fight.
He's gonna he ain't gonna spend no time calling nobody out. I'm trying to get in touch with his people while he's out in the woods. I was impressed with that last fight, and that's definitely a fight I'm looking at now. I would be giving him a shot and coming up. I've already put my offer out there. I'm just waiting to hear back. The kid can fight. He's undefeated. I really wasn't too impressed with him, but that last fight versus Yancey, he did all right. I think I might go ahead and get that done. It's just on him whether he wants to have
that is not. A very, very 100%. There's a reason for Kevin to go down and rank and fight him because Kevin lost his last fight.
And he's undefeated.
And Gregor is undefeated, and that's a great fight.
Yeah.
That.
It's an interesting call.
It is a very ballsy. That dude, that's why I like Kevin Lee.
What's the
man.
Ranking in
that? I
guys.
Like Kevin Lee.
I do too.
That's ballsy, man.
Let me check. Gregor's 13th now, I think. He moved up from 15, that's and fucking Kevin Lee is at number 5. No, Gregor's at 11, so it's an 11 fight.
That's a fucking interesting fight, man. It really is. And that'll be a sign. If he's able to put away it, I would like to see how he handles Gregor. And then you could have an idea, kind of. It depends on how it goes down, how he would maybe do with Khabib. Because, I mean, Gregor's just showing.
Right, nobody's that's able interesting,
to,
man.
Nobody's able to stop this dude from just out-grappling them. That's why he's starting to look like an interesting matchup for Khabib. But Kevin Lee comes in there, and know what he wants to do, Jimmy. I'll tell you right now what he wants to do. He wants to take all his smoke.
Mm-hmm. Sure does.
I think you're 100% right. I think that's why.
Yeah,
now
man.
That you just said it right, because if he can go through Gillespie or he can prove that he can wrestle with a guy like that, then he can have a legitimate case to say, well, I could probably beat Khabib then.
Well, I mean, it'll get him right back in the mix, taking this guy's thunder.
Yep.
You know, and I think that would be that'd be a great fight. I'd love to see that. You know,
I do too.
I want to see him back either way, though.
That's
good. He's fun.
Go Kevin?
I like them both, but yeah, I was talking about Kevin.
I think he'd be better at lightweight. I mean, again, there's so many guys in that division that are interesting for him. I think a great fight with fucking Gillespie is a smart move.
Yeah, that's a good
I don't
call.
Know who I'd even take in that fight. Gillespie's a fucking savage.
I mean, nobody's been able to get away from his wrestling. Mm-hmm. I mean, what he did to Yancey was ridiculous.
And I know Raging Al had his way with Kevin Lee that last fight, you know what I mean? But, it takes two to tangle. Kevin Lee was in that fight.
Sure,
I mean, he's a manimal. I mean, Kevin Lee was doing really good at certain points.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Fucking Raging Al. Love it. What? Hold on. Now, you said.
Uh-huh.
I know. I felt like a bird coming. I fought it, though. You said that there is a announcement for a fight. A fight.
Yeah, a couple of fights.
Announcement.
Yep. Do it. Random Marcos and Angel Hill.
Fucking shut up, man!
Just ruined his whole day.
Fuck, man!
Oh, sorry.
Fuck!
Oh, do it again.
We'll do it over. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. Macy Barber,
I fucking hate you guys. I can't even have any fun. You're like the shit in my cereal.
All right, great. All of a sudden, we're delicious.
Yeah.
what are we talking about?
Well, the first one we said was Randa Marcos, number 14 strawweight, versus Angela Hill has been set for UFC on ESPN Plus.
Wow.
Thompson versus Pettis. That's the Nashville card. Which
Randa Marcos, yep. If I'm not if I'm not wrong, had a very controversial last fight. Right or wrong? It was close. Who'd she fight last?
Well, it was a draw against Marina Rodriguez. It ended up being a draw.
Did she? What, did she? Well, should it have been a draw? Or
she's
should
had
she
a draw
in
Randa.
I mean, I got to see it again.
I'd have to watch it again,
fan.
But I think Randa. I thought Randa probably had it. But
I'm a fan of her. I think she's. I think she really is like an underrated. What is she rated? Before I say she's underrated.
She's number 14 strawweight. So she's in the top 10.
I think any given night she could be in there, man. She does well. She does. And there's some fights that she lost, and I have to go back and watch that last one because it's been a while. That was a while ago, right?
When was that? September.
Okay. September. I feel like I haven't. There's been a lot of fights since then. I think that she's a problem for most people in that division, man. I think that that's a tough fight for Angela Hill.
Yeah, style wise, I think it's not the best matchup. But if she can keep it standing,
she's had some good fights too.
She's really tough, Angela Hill. Very fun, but she'd prefer to strike. You know.
She's got a good personality, that Angela Hill. She's funny. She's friends with Jessica Penne, and they do like a podcast. They're funny girls. They got a good sense of humor. Yeah, I like those girls. I also like Jimmy.
I like you too.
All right, Jimmy. What else do we got?
We like each other.
Let's talk about this other fight, and then we'll get Mark Henry on the phone.
Okay.
But, Macy Barber, who we talked to.
I like Macy.
Yeah, who
when
we
talked
to.
She's so nice.
Was I here?
Yeah, I think you must have been. That's really funny. You know what? Maybe you weren't, Jimmy. I'm not sure. But
I'm not sure. Was I enjoying her parade?
Really, man?
Fuck. Ooh.
Really? I get shit? I get shit? Macy's parade. Listen, I saw Macy at one of the events, and I went to say, I said hi. She's like, hi, remember you interviewed me? I'm like, yes, of course.
Yeah, sure.
No, she's a nice girl. And who is she fighting?
She's lined up to fight JJ Aldrich, who comes out of Trevor Whitman Rose's camp over there. And she's coming off a win over Pollyanna Viana in her last fight. So that's actually a really interesting fight. Macy's undefeated. And JJ 7-2.
Who do you think Amanda fights next?
And what do you think of JJ Abrams' next Star Wars movie? I can't wait for that. Why you just look at me sometimes?
I don't have a button in front of me.
What do you want to press? What did you want to press when I said I want JJ Abrams' next Star Wars movie? I can't wait for it, Jimmy. Because The Force Awakens was good, and The Last Jedi sucked fucking Sith ass. Sorry, everybody. I'm just a nerd. Love my vibe, though, Jimmy.
I know you do.
I do.
You make me want to get one.
Well, Jimmy, let me tell you something. Kimora Savage walking around the Oasis. You know, people know me. They know when they start seeing in that name board, when they see Kimora Savage show up, they go, okay, that guy's going to get some bodies.
Kimora Goose. Oh, do we have Mark Henry on the phone?
Yes.
Hi, Mark. You're talking to Jim and Matt. How are you?
What's up, Mark?
What's going on, buddy? My man.
Good to talk to you, buddy.
Great talking to you, bro.
Now, let me ask you, Mark. I know that Edson Barboza trained with you guys for a long time, right?
Yeah.
And then he went to American Top Team, right? Because he moved out there?
Yeah.
Are you still tight with him?
Yeah, we're still cool with him, you know.
I don't want to start shit, Mark. What's his fucking problem? You know why I say that? Mark, buddy. I miss you, buddy. Listen, I want to say this, Mark. I want to say this because I you know I love you. And Ricardo Almeida, I love that. This guy, he's like my brother, that guy. I love that guy. Came up with the great Ricardo Almeida. So I know you guys care about your guys, much like me and Longo care about ours. So you guys are with this dude for so long. He wins his last fight versus Dan Hooker, right? And next thing you know, I don't know if it's a language thing. I'm with the best team in the world, American Top Team. I know you're seeing. I know Ricardo's watching that, spitting out his fucking acai, going, "What the fuck?" Right or wrong?
And Enzo called me, bro. What happened?
Right?
Yeah.
No, but I mean, listen. It's a little. I don't want to see. Some people think I get a little too like. Oh, because I think Chris, the producer, was defending him, and I believe, if I remember correctly, Chris is forgetting this.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe you weren't. Chris,
probably
the producer,
were.
No,
but,
I remember.
But if I know you probably were. I love Chris. I'm sorry, Chris. But listen, I think he was saying, "No, you took it wrong. He just wanted to say he was happy." No, No. You could, and Longo, I said that I go, Longo, what the fuck is that? He goes, wait, can't the guy just say he had a good fight and fucking thank the team? And anyway, I don't want to start off bitter. I just want to go for bat for you guys. Cause it's like, yeah, thanks for nothing, Bob Boza.
We're cool with him and his family. It's all good, man.
All right. I'm sorry. Well, how are we feeling, man? How's everything
real
going?
Good, man. I feel a lot better than I'm talking to you.
Well, listen, you're not just talking to me. You're talking to the great fucking...
You are, but I'm enjoying this.
Aren't you?
What do you think? Who's Barboza's fighting next? He's fighting Gaethje?
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Gaethje, yeah.
What do you think of that? That's an interesting... Has he fought another guy
who... fight. I wanted him to get that fight, you know? And, you know, we prepare for it with Eddie. So I love fighting guys that I already prepared for. Like doing half the, you know, half your homework's done.
Has Edson fought a guy who kicks legs as much as Justin does too? Because that's typically his specialty, and Gaethje is really good at that.
Yeah, I just think if you kick Edson in the leg, you're just gonna get checked, and your leg's gonna be in bad shape. So Edson's really good with seeing the kicks come and checking them. So I think that's not gonna be a problem at all. For Edson, the low kick.
Okay. All right, Mark, I'm going to let it go after this, but listen, now between just us, between us, Mark, are you rooting for Gaethje? Are you rooting for Gaethje? American top team
not.
Number one. How dare you, Edson Barboza?
All right. Top team's a great team.
All right, I'm kind of just being an asshole. But listen, you said you like preparing for guys that you already prepared for before. Sorry, that was like a stutter. You know, you got Marlon fighting Sun Tzu. This is a rematch.
Yes, it is.
And the first fight, if I remember, it was very close.
Yeah, I, you know, there's not many that I thought our guys won. I mean, I'm not going to say not many, but there's not many that I really thought they won.
Yes.
And I really thought he won that fight. Every time I watch, because, you know, I've probably watched it about 20 times so far, and each time I watch it, I'm like, man, you know, I just really thought he won. But still, it was a close fight. So I think it's one of those fights you can't really complain because, you know, Marlon's at his own fault for slapping his hand 1,000 times, being so friendly, you know. So, and it was his first fight in the UFC. So, yeah, that had a real lot to do with it. Now, Sal's an amazing fighter, man. I mean, the dude has, you know, his record's impeccable, you know, and he's on like a big winning streak, and you know he's doing that for a reason because he's awesome.
And that and in fairness, that was Marlon, like you said, that was his debut fight in the UFC.
So, yep, it sure was. You know, something he wanted to do his whole life, and you know he got there, and it's great. You know, when you could take a fight like that you know you took no damage in, and you really thought you won, and you get to learn a great lesson. You know, it's good. And the lesson learned is that, you know, for 15 minutes or 25 minutes, you know, the person in there isn't your friend.
Yeah.
You know, and you need to go in there, you know, like you want it bad.
Well, what changed? Because he's been on a tear lately. I mean, taking out guys, one of my guys too, that are not easily to take out. What changed? What clicked for him?
Yeah, well, he came to us at 7-4-1 and, you know, wasn't really known at all. And, like, since he's been with us, man, he's just been phenomenal. He's like 15-1 or something like that. You know, it could be 16-0 if he didn't lose that fight. So, I mean, from the first day, I saw Marlon, he's buddies with Edson. And, from the first day that he came, I thought he was phenomenal. And, I just think that he needed that confidence. I think he was kind of in a little bit of Edson's shadow. I could be wrong, but, you know, like, we wanted to know him, that he's a phenom, you know? So I think, and the main thing is he was joined at the hip of Frankie Edgar. I mean, just everywhere Frankie went, he went. They wrestle together. They do Muay Thai together. And Marlon is the most amazing teammate. So he really, you know, tried to help Frankie with not only his kick offense, but his kick defense, which he really needed at the time. So, you know, and Frankie's helped him in so many different ways of wrestling, and then our way of training. You know what I'm saying? If you're sick, be in training. If your arm hurts, be in training. You know, so, you know, I think
and just being next to Frankie, you know, with that toughness and going through the speed agility classes that, you know, Marlon never misses a workout, man. I've been with him almost seven years now, and I can't even recall him missing a workout.
And did Dana confirm that the winner is going to get a shot at TJ?
I know before the last fight that just happened, he did. I don't know if tomorrow, but I think somebody sent it to me that he said the winner of those two were going to at some press conference. But then that happened, which could maybe change things. That's why I was so against that fight happening. I was even telling Warren, you know, tweet about it a little bit, because I said if what's his name loses, TJ loses, that this other guy's gonna get the fight, you know, and that's what happened. And you know, the question is being like, you know, now guys like Marlon and Sunsau have to wait. Did he deserve it? Because like, what's his name definitely deserves the match, Cejudo. But does Dillashaw kind of deserve it? That's why I was like, if you want to go down, drop the belt. You know what I'm saying? Because if you lose, now the smaller right. weight guy beat you, and now he's definitely going to fight for the belt. And like, does the champ, who's the champ now, Dillashaw deserve a shot at his own belt because he got taken out in like seconds? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's almost like he doesn't deserve the shot, you know?
Speaking of that fight, Mark,
you should be Cejudo and the winner of this fight for the title.
What did you think of that stoppage with Cejudo and TJ? Because there's been some talk about that.
Yeah, I thought it was a little soon, but I think it wasn't. It was, you know, what I always go by too is the announcers, and the announcers really didn't seem to think it was too fast at all. They thought it was a good stoppage, and who am I to say anything against Anik? I think it was Cormier, and. You know, those two guys are saying it, but I thought it was a little early, but not enough to go crazy about, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like I thought, you know, I thought it was definitely early, but you know, and Dillashaw is such a tough dude. I he deserved, you know, the benefit of the doubt, especially how tough he is.
Yeah.
And but I didn't think it was crazy enough to warrant a rematch. You know,
it'd be hard. I mean. Especially if Marlon takes out Sunsau, like just takes him out, it would be hard to deny him a title shot. I mean, then you look at the list of guys that he's beaten. I mean, shoot. And it's really exciting because how many fights has he had since that debut? How many fights? Chris, the producer, you probably have it right in front of you.
Yeah, he's had three since then. He beat Dotson, Aljo, and Jimmy Rivera.
Since he fought him the first time?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, and Jimmy was on a 20-fight win tear.
I know.
Was, you know, really up for a fight. So to beat guys like, you know, it was the thing is who the guys he beat. He beat all-ranked guys, you know?
Yeah.
He beat all-ranked guys and all top-ranked guys. And not only that, like, you know, stopping Aljamain you know, Rivera is a big statement. Guys that are ranked that high, you know, and he fought, I think, I forget which fight he fought right away, but I know he fought one of them after just a couple of weeks and off the other one.
It's crazy. That's great, though, man.
How's Frankie doing?
He's doing good, man. He's you know, even when he, you know, he shouldn't have been training as early as he was, and he did, you know, he can't stand. So, you know, he's ready, man. I was with him yesterday with pads, and he's starting to spar light, so he's feeling really good.
You're in Brazil now?
No, I'm leaving tomorrow with Frankie, because Frankie's cornered, because it's the main event.
Do you think that, sorry to interrupt you, Mark, do you think, because Frankie, I thought that it was such an amazing thing that he fought Ortega, and it didn't work out for Frankie, and Brian gets the shot, and it's a great fight, but he loses. Do you think Frankie deserves the next shot at Max?
Absolutely, I do. You know, especially being that, you know, you had, you know, especially being that you had, you know, Frankie, Max got hurt for the Frankie fight, and Frankie took Fort Ortega. And Ortega had the same opportunity, you know. I mean, the same thing happened to him. Max got hurt. They wanted him to take another fight. And he wouldn't do it. Like, so I think there has to be something to keep the show going, to have that type of heart with all these fans, you know, really respect is these guys that, you know, when the champ, you know, gets hurt, that they keep the card alive, you know, and that's got to count for something, I would think, you know. And, you know, Frankie could have, easily said to, you know, not fight, but he did.
Yeah, and I agree. I wish he hadn't, because I love Frankie, and I want to see him get this this title shot against Max. What did you think of Holloway Ortega?
Oh, man, Max is, he's phenomenal, man. He's one of my favorite fighters. You know, excluding my guys, he's one of my favorite fighters, man. And that's a kid who will fight anybody at any time. He's not afraid of anything. And, you know, when he deserves so many shots, he kept, you know, give me the next one. You know, give me the next guy. I don't care. And he's just, you know, like, for me, he's a fighter's fighter, man. Like, he, you know, they, yeah, he's like the guys when Matt was coming up, you know, and I appreciate Max to death, I think, you know. And that's what I think, too. I think Max has pretty much cleared out the whole division except Frankie. I think there's really nothing else for him to do. But, you know, at this exact time, but to fight Frankie, you know?
And Ortega was, I mean, everyone knew he was tough, but the fact that it had to be a doctor stoppage at the end of the fourth, I mean, he was tougher than I thought, so there's actually a good...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He was taking, man, I mean, Max was hitting him dead on. It was incredible, the pounding that he was taking, and sometimes acting like it didn't even faze him. So, I mean, he's got some chin on him.
Yeah, he really does. And how do you feel about Zabit fighting Jeremy Stephens on 235?
Oh, I'm pumped, man. You know, Jeremy, Zabit's finally getting a guy who's legit, a guy who's, you know, one of the best at 145, not just for a little bit, but for a long time. You know, Stevens has, you know, he's been up there forever, you know, because he's a true professional. So, you know, it's going to be exciting that he finally gets the opportunity, Zabit, to fight somebody of that caliber. And, you know, I'm really excited for him to prove himself and show that, you know, he's close for a title shot, too.
Yeah, and before we let you go, have you spoken? I know you're very close to Eddie, and he went over to ONE Championship. Have you spoken to Eddie? Are you guys still in touch? How is he doing?
He's doing great. We trained this morning.
Oh, okay. All right, so he's still with you guys. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I wasn't
only
sure.
Had one guy. We have only had one guy leave.
Okay.
Only one.
All right, good. I wasn't sure.
And that guy, just again, you know, the Barboza family, we love to death.
Sure.
It's not just Edson. It's Bruna. It's Noah and Edson. And we love these guys to death. And Edson was one of the guys who started, you know, us being who we are. So, you know, Edson really helped us so much, and he's part of our family, and he'll always be, you know.
So, and, I'm sorry, what is his name? Edson, what have you done for me lately, Barboza?
That's how these Gracie guys are, bro. That's how these Gracie guys are, you know. And it's funny, too, because Henzo, he's so, is it Switzerland? What's the one that, is it, that's the good guys?
What do you mean? They're just neutral? They're not getting involved?
Yeah.
Switzerland.
Well, let me.
I don't know how that. Matt didn't show up to that day.
Well, I will go out on a limb here and say that Frankie Edgar is not leaving for American Top Team anytime soon. Yeah. You understand? That's what I'm saying, you, Mark Henry.
Well, I'll be honest. I don't know why I think when these guys switch companies that they move. I asked the same thing about Sage Northcutt before the show. I was like, did he move? He's like, no, we're still here. Well, I assume he just moved overseas.
I thought it was a good time for Edson, too. You know, I thought it was a good time for him. I know it's, you know, his family liked being where it was better weather. And
according to him, he's with the best team in the world.
That's what he says.
Mark Henry!
I don't care who gets the label, as long as our guys are happy and their families are happy.
He was such a good guy.
You know? That's who's number one. I was at that class with Henzo.
let me tell you something. To me, Mark Henry, if that was me in that cage, I would have said, oh, man, I'm having a great time at American Top Team, but, oh, boy, do I miss that Mark Henry.
Sure.
That's what I would have said. But I like you, Mark.
Ricardo's great, too, man.
Of course, Ricardo.
Man, Ricardo.
Your whole team, man.
Yeah, they could, you know, a bunch of good guys. But, you know, I think, like, if, you know, if you look at our guys, man, you know, like, you know, some stuff, too, were tough breaks, you know, like when he fought Khabib, we begged him not to fight because he just got off of surgery. I don't even think he trained a day yet, and he took the fight. And it was like, I don't know, it was that long. Then the Lee, man, don't take Lee. Work on the wrestling a little more. And you know, one was after the other. You just did a tough wrestler. So, you know, things unfortunately didn't go that way. When he came to us, he was ranked like 35 or something. We got him up to 3, and unfortunately, we couldn't get him to the number one spot, which, you know, we were hoping to do. Wow. Hopefully, since Eddie went to ONE FC, I'm hoping that, you know, he gets that number one spot.
All right. Well, listen, Mark. Good luck with Marlon, and you guys are leaving tomorrow, and hopefully he'll get it done, because I would love to see him get a title shot.
100%.
Yeah. We also have Saeed fighting on that card too. Nurmagomedov. He's on the card too. I think he's the first or second fight.
Oh, okay.
So I just want to throw out a plug to Saeed too, who's 1-0 in the UFC. And Dagestanian fighter, which is only fighters we take right now. No, I'm joking. But,
that's great.
We've got about 8 of them in the last couple of years.
That's awesome.
So, Saeed, really excited for Saeed. He's progressing really good. And another guy that trains a little too, Maga Biblatov, too, will be on that card. So excited for all three of them.
Awesome, man.
Well, great, man. Good luck. And we'll definitely talk to you again. This is an extremely exciting, there's actually an exciting co-main, and the main is really exciting. So I'm looking forward to this. This is UFC Fight Night. And it is on, what's the night that it's on, Chris?
This Saturday, February 2nd. Yeah, the main, all on ESPN Plus. The main card is at 8 p.m. Eastern.
Great. Thank you so much, Mark.
Later, Mark.
Yep. Thanks so much, guys. Awesome talking, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Have a good trip.
All right, bro.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, he really
Henry.
Is.
Henry. I like him a lot. I like to stir some shit.
Well, it was a fair question.
Yeah, well, listen, man. I am with the best team. I want to thank the best team. American top team, the best team. Really? Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I love Dan. Dan, what the fuck?
Dan Lambert.
He's a buddy of mine. Oh, he's a ball breaker. Oh, he gives me texts. And then we go back with me and Dean Thomas. He's a funny guy. You like him. You know him?
No.
He's a good man. I like him a lot. Got a sick sense of humor.
Oh, good.
You know? So
I'm going to tinkle.
I like him. Why don't we tinkle, and then when we come
talk
back,
to Paige.
We'll talk to Paige. What? I was about to let the audience know. Why do you always got to cut me off? Because you're the broadcaster
guy.
What
did you say?
When we come back, we're going to talk to Paige VanZant.
Yeah.
All right.
Relationship tip number one. It's not going to truly feel like Valentine's Day unless there's a surprise bouquet of roses involved. She'll think you forgot. Oh, I'm dating a bum. I'm married to a bum. And then all of a sudden the roses show up and she's like, ooh! This season, the biggest and brightest roses are only found at 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, when you order early, 1-800-Flowers has amazing deals on vibrant and romantic Valentine roses, bouquets, rose bouquets, arrangements and more, starting at just $29.99. There are so many unbelievable deals, 1-800-Flowers, but you have to hurry. Look, I've ordered these for a woman. I'm a terrible boyfriend. I'm aloof. I'm distant. I don't like to listen. I like to listen to music I want to hear, but I'd like to hear Sabbath is going on. So you order flowers and you look like a good guy. Roses from 1-800-Flowers are picked at their peak, shipped overnight to ensure freshness. And her amazement, gorgeous Valentine's bouquets, and arrangements starting at $29.99 is an amazing deal, but it's not going to last very long. Bouquet prices will be going up soon, so take advantage today. What else are you doing? You're listening to this.
Jimmy.
Yes.
I love my wife.
Sure you
do. I'm going to call 1-800-Flowers for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, you have to. You're always coming home. You're training. You're sweaty.
Yeah.
Your knees are swollen.
It's true.
She takes care of you. She treats you nice.
She deserves 1-800-Flowers, Jimmy.
Yes, she does.
I'm going to get it for her.
Pick your delivery date. Let 1-800-Flowers handle the rest. When it comes to Valentine's, or Valentine's, like I used to say it when I was a boy. Cute. I don't settle for anything less than my rose authority, 1-800-Flowers.com. To order Valentine's bouquets, arrangements, and more starting at $29.99, you go to 1-800-Flowers.com. You click the radio icon, enter code UNFILTERED. That way they'll know Matt and I or the romance gurus who sent you. Order today, you save at 1-800-Flowers.com, code UNFILTERED. After a stressful game, it's only natural to need some well-deserved rest. Upgrade your current sleep situation because Mattress Firm is offering the best bed deal of the year. Get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price for savings of up to $700. Plus, take home a free adjustable base up to a $699 value. That's $699 for free. You'll only find these deals during Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. So don't miss your chance to start sleeping like a pro. Shop now at mattressfirm.com/sale. There's nothing worse than being uncomfortable in bed. It's horrible. You're not rested the next day. You suck at work. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is offering the best bed deal of the year. Save up to $700 when you get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price. Plus, Take home a free adjustable base that's up to a $699 value free. Visit mattressfirm.com/sale for more details.
What up, everybody? This is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trail Blazers. And here's a little taste of what we talked about on this week's Pull Up podcast. Very special mini post-Game 7 episode of Pull Up. An epic Game 7 in Denver.
37 points, back-to-back, essentially closeout buckets. Why were you so successful last night?
I think it just really came down to my demeanor and mindset. Empty the clip, leave nothing out there. I wanted to say I did everything in my power, and I left all my bullets out there on the court and didn't bring anything home.
How do you shift to a completely new animal, an absolute monster in the Warriors?
In the playoffs, it just comes down to X's and O's and execution more so than anything else. The Warriors aren't going to run a lot of plays. They're going to run a lot of misdirection out of timeouts and late clock situations, but most of it's going to be mid pick and roll. It's going to be pin downs and flares and things of that nature for Klay and Steph in a lot of transition. So you have to guard the three-point line, get back in transition, and make it as difficult as possible on them. Don't forget to
pull up.
Subscribe and listen every week on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
We're ready to talk to Paige VanZant shortly. We should start our picks. I mean, we have six fights.
Yeah, there's a ton of fights. All right, yeah, we could do that.
Why don't we start them? What are we doing?
Sure. Oh, that's the old fight card.
That's the old fight card. Come on now.
Jesus. Okay, so this is this Saturday night from Fortaleza, Brazil, Saturday, February 2nd. The ESPN Plus prelim started 5 p.m. Eastern, and then we're going to pick the main card, which starts at 8 p.m. Eastern, all on ESPN Plus. The first fight of the night on the main card is Lavinia Souza versus Sarah Frota. Sarah Frota is making her UFC debut. She was on the Contender Series, and she won by first round knockout back in August.
She's so mysterious in that picture.
She's undefeated.
She's like she's talking about on an FBI tape.
I know.
An informant. What is Souza's record?
She is 12-1, and she has one UFC fight. I'm going to confirm that. Let me see. She has a guillotine choke win over Alex Chambers in her UFC debut. But she's also fought in Invicta a few times.
And how did and Sarah's record is what?
She is 9-0.
Oh, sorry.
9-0.
Yeah.
12-1, 9-0.
Yes.
Where did she fight for this 9-0? She
I'm going to look. I think she was in, well, she was, like I said, she was on the Contender Series, and then she was in just a bunch of other.
I don't even know what she looks like. There's no picture. That's why we made that mysterious joke before, because there's a picture of a shadowy figure.
Yeah, just a shadow.
With a hair.
Shadow.
That might not even be her hair.
We don't know.
That could be just, that's, who the heck is that? That's her? Well, that. Now, that definitely wasn't the right picture because, well, look, let me see. Does she have tattoos on her face?
She does. Yeah.
Okay. So
Matt's definitely going to pick her.
I'm going with Sarah.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Because kind of, you know, listen, you got certain choices in life. And when you get tattoos on your face, it makes the choices a lot less as far as, say, occupation.
Right.
Sure.
Accountant is probably
hard to be a president.
Yeah.
You know, heart specialist or something. Like, no. That yeah, I don't, you know, you're not going to, oh, I got to work on your sick child. And, well, you have a tattoos on your face. I don't judge that. But I think she's suited for a cage, to fight in a cage.
Yeah.
Jimmy.
So you're taking her.
I'm taking Sarah by second round stoppage. Punches.
What did Souza do in her last fight?
She has a submission win over Alex Chambers.
I'm giving her a second round submission.
Ooh.
I think that 12-1, even though Frota is very good, 9-0, I don't think she's fought the level of competition that
Correct.
Maybe Souza has fought.
Yeah. Well, maybe you don't know who she fought, Jimmy.
You're right.
All right. I just like to get a little combative.
No, you're not wrong.
Spices things up.
Comment, Chris?
Yeah, I'm also going to take Lavinia Souza by second round submission. I think you're
just
right.
Just keeps copying daddy.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's go there.
A little too eager to do
daddy
that.
Daddy knows best. I'm just going to call.
Let's do one more fight.
What are you doing? Let's do one more fight. We get us
one
all
more
right.
fight. The guys want one more fight. What is the next fight? Just show
we
us.
Johnny Walker, who we really like, against Justin Laudette.
Can you put them down a little bit so we can just think about some other fights while
sure.
we're...
Okay.
What did they do in their last fights before you call it?
Johnny Walker's got... I don't want to leave her hanging.
Call now.
Johnny Walker, I know, is coming off a win. I'm going to pull up his record. He knocked out...
That's right. He's a big guy, right? He's really tall?
Yeah, he's a big dude. He's an interesting prospect, I think, at light heavyweight. the website's being really slow. Justin Liddett is coming off of a decision loss to Alexander Rakic in his last fight, and Johnny Walker knocked out Khalil Roundtree.
That's right.
First round knockout.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's ferocious, this Johnny Walker.
He's not
undefeated, is he?
He is 14-3. Okay. He's won his only UFC fight, and he has a win on the Contender Series also.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why don't you get Paige on the phone? What are you doing? Stop lollygagging.
Hey, what the fuck, man?
Her guest late.
Turn up the lights in here, baby. Jimmy?
Yes, up, buddy.
Turn the lights up in...
You sing like an angel.
Jimmy, you want me to sing some more? Jimmy? Yeah. What do you want, the Barboza song?
Yeah, after.
Or do you want me to tell you about
Paige is coming.
The possibilities of this show and how many possibilities it has.
Hi, Paige Van Zandt. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. You're talking to Matt and Jim on UFC Unfiltered.
Hi, Paige.
Hey.
Congratulations on getting married. How long have you been married?
We got married in September, end of September.
How are you liking it?
Oh, we love it. I mean, not a lot has changed for us, but just, you know, business as usual, but it's been awesome.
It has. Did you go on a honeymoon or did you have to put it off because of fight schedules?
We had to put it off. My husband actually fought 2 weeks after our wedding, and then I got crazy busy just with work and in life and stuff, and then I took a fight, and now he fights again in 2 weeks, so I don't see us getting a real honeymoon anytime soon.
Right before the wedding. So he was in training when you get married, so he can't enjoy any of the food at the wedding.
No, well, originally we thought he would be fighting the week before our wedding, and then so he would be able to, like, you know, really celebrate and have a great time at the wedding, and then that one got canceled, and then he took another, almost like a short notice fight 2 weeks after. So he didn't really get to fully eat or enjoy the, you know, all the food and cake and stuff at the wedding. He was dieting.
Oh, that stinks. Your wedding, everybody's partying, having fun, and you have to drink a water with lemon in it.
Yep. But, you know, that's the fight life. We're used to it.
Yeah, I'm sure. You're 1-1 as a flyweight, and how do you feel? I mean, how are you? How is your body feeling? And, you know, with the lack of, I guess, weight cut comparatively.
You know, I mean, I actually put on quite a bit of muscle for this last fight, so I'm still cutting. I'm not a small flyweight by any means. I'm cutting a significant amount of weight to make 125. I think my body just fits better at this weight class. It's a much more natural weight for me. Getting down to 115, I could make probably like 122 and be fine, but it's getting anywhere past like 122, my body just refuses. It's like extremely unhealthy for me. I can just kind of feel myself like deteriorating. So, especially once they took away, I think I only had, one or two fights in the UFC, not very many, before at 115 where they stopped letting us use IVs. So I tried to continue to make 115 without the IV, and that's really what the game changer was. I just couldn't do it and be fully rehydrated to compete.
Now, there was a photo taken of you after your last fight, a really nice photo against Rachel Ostovich, where, you know, she's face down on the ground. I guess she's upset, and you are kissing her on the shoulder. That was a very nice photo.
Oh, well, yeah, thanks. I mean, I guess I, you know, in the moment, I didn't even realize that I had done that. But, it's, you know, obviously, nobody likes to lose. I know what all of us sacrifice for this sport. And I know, you know, I had a hard journey to get into the octagon, but hers, you know, with everything she's going through, I'm not, you know, I'm sure some of it we don't even know about. I know how hard that is to get through those struggles, to get into, you know, a fight and then... The winning is great, but losing feels so much worse. So, you know, I've been there. I know what it feels like, and I can feel for my opponents who lose.
That's such a nice photo, too. Like, that would be such an unpleasant photo if it was, like, Stipe and Ngannou.
That'd be unpleasant for you, but I would like to see that.
I guess so, yeah. In your shoes, maybe that would be a little bit
yeah.
a little bit better. Now, your broken arm fight against Jessica Rose Clark, I mean, it was an incredible... You know, again, because it looked like you weren't using it much, so I can't. People speculated while you were fighting. But what was the recovery process like? I know you had a. It looked like you were getting better, and then you had to go in and get it done again. What happened there?
Yeah, you know, and especially for that fight, it sucks because I've always been kind of a slow starter, and I really have a lot of success the longer the fight goes. So it sucks for me to break my arm like in the middle of the second round. it was, you know, frustrating. Especially I knew I had lost the first round, but the whole process to recovery, I had one surgery that was supposed to be the only surgery. They put a plate in my arm and it was supposed to take typically 6 to 8 weeks to fully heal. Well, months go by and I continue to go back and get CT scans and x-rays, and for whatever reason, there was absolutely 0% sign of healing. So 6 months went by, there was still 0% sign of healing, which means my arm didn't grow back at all. I still had a full fracture through my arm 6 months after the surgery. Wow. So initially, a broken arm for 6 months. So they go in, that's called a non-union. So I had to go in and they had to scrape away all the dead bone in my arm. They took a bone graft and some platelets out of my hip and filled the crack in my arm with some like live tissue and live bone, and then put a much, much, much bigger, more heavy plate in my arm that runs from the elbow to the wrist. So it, I have an awesome scar the full length of my forearm now. So it was a much more intensive surgery. The recovery time for that one, I mean, still, the second time the surgery worked. So I fought 6 months after the second surgery. I was already fighting.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, it really is.
Tell me about that back take. That was awesome. Now, and not for anything, Rachel was fighting a great fight, too.
Yeah.
That was a great, great fight. Very, very strategic, and the techniques, from the striking to the clinch, I thought Rachel was doing awesome, but she made one mistake when she tried that for that back take on you, and then booyah, what a the tide turned. And drastically, like, it was like, she was like, I'm not going to say, she was like a step ahead. She was doing very good with the grappling. And then the one mistake, and you jumped on that back like a ninja. Is that something you normally do in training, that back take?
I mean, no, it's all situational. I mean, wherever a training goes, wherever the fight goes, you kind of react to what's going on. But the first round, I definitely, didn't put on the best show of my skill. But one area that people, you know, some fighters have commented on it, or people who are, you know, really big in the fight world, they understand the way I have matured in my fight game. During that first round, I made sure I was never actually in any danger. I was losing the first round, but I never put myself in a really risky position to try to get up. And that's something that I've done in the past, where I'll actually give up my back to try to like give up, or I'll put myself in a really dangerous position to try to get out. And I was able to really listen to my coaches and my corners, and I could hear him the entire time talking me through what to do next. So it kept me a lot safer, and that's why I didn't take any damage from that fight. So moving forward, I can take another fight right away. As far as, you know, the back take, it only takes a split second for me to really capitalize in a fight. You know, if you give an inch, I'll take a mile. So that's kind of what happened in that situation. I saw an opening and I really tried to capitalize on it.
And the arm lock, which was, oh man, it was so, it looked nasty because it looked so tight. Mm-hmm. Did you feel a pop at all of the arm, or?
Yeah, she actually was almost out of it. I was too high on her arm, but luckily I had cups like the gloves. So with MMA gloves, it's a lot harder to get out of arm bars, especially with the way she was trying to pull out of it. So I was able to just readjust my hips and turn it to do like a face down arm bar. So I was able to readjust my hips, pull her back down, and I definitely felt it pop a few times. So I felt her tap, and I figured that was enough to, you know, let go and walk away with the win.
That's awesome. And how are you settling into to being in Portland? I mean, are you loving it after having been with Alpha Male for so many years? How does it feel to be home?
Yeah, I actually do. I love it so much. You know, this is the first time in my career where I can genuinely say I have coaches that would do absolutely anything for me. You know, I've had people along the road that were amazing pieces to my puzzle and pieces to putting me together. But here I feel like I have everything I need all at one place. And I have, my head coach, Fabiano Scherner, he cares so much about me, and all my teammates. It's like throughout my entire fight camp, they were all sacrificing their schedule, their work schedule. There's no ton of guys at my gym who are able to be full-time fighters. So they would take time off work to come in and help me spar. They would you know, take all that time off to get me ready. It's like having a team that genuinely really wants to see me succeed feels so, so good. So I'm loving it here in Portland. And, I've cross-trained all over the place. But this is really where I fit for right now. I see myself fighting out of Portland for a while.
And we have a couple of fan questions for you. We like to get the UFC unfiltered. I wouldn't call them an army, but just say a smattering of people. Matt calls them an army.
I like to call them army.
Now, there are some questions here. Have you played the HTC Vive Pro, and how are your sinuses? Someone is covering really? Both of Matt and mine's obsessions.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't know. I have not done that.
Okay, that's a virtual reality video game.
Yeah.
And are your sinuses in good shape? Are you a good breather?
Oh, no, I'm not a good breather. So I have had chronic asthma since I was 9 months old. And then I'm allergic to like pretty much anything in the environment. So no, I'm never going to been a good breather.
Now, can surgery fix that for you? Or is that just like something you got to take pills for?
I have inhalers, and then I have pills, and then me and my husband just started sleeping with those like night strips on your nose.
Oh, I love those.
Did help. Yeah. So married life, we were in bed by 9 o'clock last night with breeze strip on our nose.
Paige, I have a permanent mark on my nose. I mean, I'm older than you. So I've been doing breathe right strips for years. And when I like after a shower, I can still see the little outline on my, but at least you got married first. See, I'm single. I'm never going to find a wife now with this stupid thing on my face.
Yeah.
But they really do help a little bit. And here's a question here. Do you watch MMA? This is from Luis Cardona. Do you watch MMA? And if so, who is your favorite fighter?
I do watch MMA. That's pretty much, other than like The Office or anything on Netflix, that's pretty much the only thing we watch is MMA. My favorite fighter, it's hard for me to answer that, but, you know, one of my dreams in life would be for George St. Pierre to come back and have him be, like, the main event, and I'll be the co-main event, and we'll fight on the same card.
Now, what are you watching on Netflix?
Netflix, we're watching The Office. We just watched the whole document. We watched a lot of documentaries.
Sure.
So we watched the documentary on the Fyre Festival. We just downloaded the Ted Bundy tape.
Oh, creepy.
Lots of documentaries, yeah.
You know what's really good too? I watched the Fyre Festival. I still have my hopes up for this year, but there's the Andrew Cunanan story about the murder of Johnny Versace. That's like a 9-part miniseries that Netflix got a hold of. It's really good.
That's interesting. We're going to have to watch that. Yeah, we go through just all sorts of true crime documentaries.
I can't even watch like dramas anymore because things in like real life that happen are so much more, are worse and so much more interesting, and they're not made up. So it's easier to believe it.
That's true. Yeah, it definitely gets you thinking. When it's true in real life, it makes me think a lot more.
Now, B Binko 22 said, how freeing was it to get all that information in your book off your chest?
It felt great. You know, it was something Asori had been writing pieces together for a long time. I mean, the whole process I felt was like really fast for me for it to come out. I put everything together, got it to my agent, and he was like, yep, we're making a book. So it got signed to a publishing company right away, which I didn't really expect, but it definitely felt good. So I'm really happy I was able to, you know, get my book out there, and I've had a lot of really positive feedback from a lot of people who have gone through similar situations.
Now, do you want to do another one?
I definitely would love to, but I think for my next, if I were to write another book, obviously the last one was my life from my childhood up until now. I don't have a whole lot to write about my life right now, but I would actually love to put out a cookbook.
Oh, okay, something totally different.
Totally different, yeah. A cookbook would be my next thing. I would love to share some recipes that I have.
And the cover could just be you and your husband smiling with Breathe Right strips. That'd be nice.
Exactly.
All right, Paige. Well, congratulations. It was really nice to see you again and fighting. And you looked tremendous. And that was a great fight. And it looks like your arm is 100%. So I'm sure we'll see you again
soon. It is. Yeah. We're talking with the UFC, and we should have a fight announced anytime.
All right, great. Good talking to you, Paige. And we're really happy you're back.
Yeah, Paige. Congrats.
Yep, thank you so much.
All right. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
She's really nice. She's a nice person.
She wasn't in a good mood, though.
And my kids...
What?
I was just kidding.
She's very, my very kids cheery. Like that she fights and she dances. It's almost like Black Widow. Black Widow was a... she's a Marvel Avenger, Jimmy.
Yeah.
And she was like classically trained, the character, in ballet. And then she's like an assassin. So like my kids watch that. They're like, yay, we danced. Let's be assassins.
Sure.
All right.
You said that like Kenzo.
We got to pick fights.
I did sound like Kenzo. And my kids
don't sound like assassins.
Let's get back up into the
fights. Put the fights up.
Yeah, I will. Johnny Walker and Justin Ledet. We already.
I'm taking Johnny Walker. I'm taking him because he was a I'm going to say give him. I think Ledet will be smart enough to try to stay away in the first round. I'm going to give him a second round knockout. He looked tremendous against Khalil.
Yeah, he's. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it does go a little bit into the fight how his conditioning is. But I mean, he's a monster.
Justin Ledet. Yeah. What is his record?
He is 9-1.
Ooh.
He has a few fights in the UFC. He's 3-0. Excuse me, 3-1 in the UFC.
Oh, so that who did he lose to in the UFC?
He's coming off a unanimous decision loss to Alexander Rakic.
Oh, you said that earlier. Fight.
Yeah, it's all right.
All right. And he won. How did he win?
He won fights? By split decision against Azuna Anyanwu. Sorry.
Jones.
And then he has a rear naked choke win over Mark Godbeer and a unanimous decision win over Chase Sherman.
Johnny Walker, first round stoppage, TKO.
Yeah, I have Johnny Walker by first round knockout also. I just all think right. He, in Brazil especially.
Here's why I'm saying second round. Okay. The other guys had a lot of decisions. He might have better wind, and he's probably going to try to stay away a little bit in that first round.
Could. He could.
All right, Oliveira against David Taymor. That's
this is a really fun fight.
Yes, it is. What did they both do in their last fight?
Charles Oliveira is coming off a submission win, I know for sure. Let me just remind myself who it was against.
Jim Miller.
Yeah, the rear naked choke. Right. So he's got Charles Oliveira's on a 3-fight win streak, 3 submissions in a row, guillotine, and then 2 rear naked chokes. Clay Guida, Christos Yagos, and Jim Miller.
Taymor, tell me more, tell me more, tell me about David Taymor.
He is 8-1 in his career. He is...
Jimmy's looking at me. I thought I let that one slip, Jimmy. I thought you would let that go. Sorry.
He's 5-1 in the UFC.
That was from Greece.
5-0 in the UFC, and now he's on a... He's got 3 straight decision wins. His last one coming against Nick Lentz.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yep, Jakar Close.
Nick Lentz ain't an easy fight.
No, of course not. Jakar Close, sorry, and Lando Venata.
Oh, wow.
Also.
Who?
Yeah, he's beating some Venata.
Means no worries.
No, save it. It's coming.
Oh, it is coming. Yeah, you got it. It is coming. Holy fuck. Damian Maia is fighting Lyman Good?
Hold on.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want
to Taymor.
Where the fuck? How come I didn't know Damian Maia is fighting?
Because you didn't look at the rundown.
Taymor by decision. Taymor by decision.
Yeah. David Taymor by decision for Jimmy. What do you think, Matt?
Wow,
this is a very fun fight. This is a good one.
And he's how many losses does he have?
Who, Taymor?
Yeah,
he's 8-1.
Who did he lose to?
Early in his career, not in the UFC.
Oh, not in the UFC. He's undefeated in the UFC.
He is. He's 5-0 in the UFC. His first fight was a loss.
Who did he fight in the UFC? Just the names, really quick.
Martin Svensson, Jason Novelli, Lando Venata, Jakar Close, and Nick Lentz.
How did he beat Lando?
Decision. Because Lando, that was the fight of the night. And Lando's tough as hell. I mean.
And the last one, I'm sorry, was
Nick Lentz.
Nick Lentz. How do you beat Lentz again?
Decision. He's got 3 decisions in a row.
Submission win, Charles Oliveira, second round.
Man, you guys just keep copying me. All right. I have Oliveira by second round submission also.
Ooh! Okay.
All right. Damian Maia versus Lyman Good. Yeah.
Wow.
What did Lyman Good do in his last 2 fights?
He won.
Yeah, he definitely won his last fight for sure. Let me see. I'm getting it up here. He is coming. Oh, right. He knocked out Ben Saunders. Then he has a loss to Eliseo Zaleski dos Santos. That was a split decision. And then before that, his first UFC fight, he knocked out Andrew Craig in the second round.
Lyman Good, first round TKO.
Interesting. Damian Maia, first round rear naked choke, motherfucker. Sorry.
I went back and forth in this one a lot. I am going to take Lyman Good by decision. I just think he's going to outstrike Maia, but obviously if Damian Maia takes him down, that could be
curtains, could be ugly.
As always, yeah.
All right, let's see.
All right, co-main event.
Ooh.
Jose Aldo Jr. versus Renato Moicano.
Renato Moicano, Jimmy. It means no worries. Renato Moicano. What a wonderful name.
Did I say Barboza Gaethje before?
Renato Moicano. Moicano.
All right. If I said that, it was a mistake. I don't. I didn't.
I don't even know if there's that. What did card Jimmy set. Say?
I
mean,
no, I don't know. No. Yeah. I was just remembering that for some reason. Did I say Barboza?
I don't remember.
I don't know.
Barboza. Barboza.
Hold on. Wait till we're done.
Renato Moicano. All right, guys. I gotta sing. We gotta finish this thing off.
What did Moicano do in his last fight?
He is coming off of a rear naked choke win over Cub Swanson. He's got two in a row. He had a unanimous decision over Calvin Kattar. And a sub over.
And Calvin Kattar is no joke, man. Calvin Kattar is a tough dude.
And Jose Hanato, decision.
Hanato's only loss is to Brian Ortega. He got guillotine choked.
Jose decision.
Jose Aldo by decision. I actually did the same thing, but this one, this is almost like against my better judgment. I think Moicano, he's a real dangerous guy, but I like Aldo in Brazil. And then he's coming off that win.
Where's
over
Moicano
Jeremy
from?
Stevens. He's also from Brazil, but I'm just saying, like, Jose Aldo is.
More Brazilian? I mean, come on.
Yeah, but that's like he always fights extremely well at home. So.
Yeah.
So right. Do your picks.
I already did it. I got Jose.
We both have Aldo by decision.
Oh, do you really, guys?
Sure do.
I'll meet that. And I'll beat that with Renato Moicano.
Yep.
He will win by decision. Fair enough. Renato Moicano. He'll have a wonderful day. Renato Moicano.
Well, we didn't finish. We got to do it after the show.
All right. All right, listen to me, guys.
I file a Sun Sal against...
Oh, you know what? Before we get into it, I'm really sorry. What? Justin Gaethje and Barboza is the headlining fight in Philadelphia.
Oh, it's
Philadelphia.
Ooh. So they're the headline.
Go there and run those steps. And then March get 30th. A gluten-free cheese steak. And then, you know, watch some fights.
Sure.
That's
I'm going to go What's... with Marlon... What?
Yeah, Moraes.
I'm going with Marlon Moraes.
What did he do last fight?
He knocked out our friend Jimmy Rivera.
Hey, listen, Sun Sal's a crafty dude, right. Man. Yeah. Sun Sal is crafty. So, but I'm going to say that Marlon's going to win by decision. I don't want it to go to a decision.
It won't. Marlon will win in the third by TKO.
Well, listen to me. That's what you're saying.
Yep.
And I'm not against that. I would lie. That'd be great.
Y'all don't need to listen.
But I don't... What'd you just say?
You don't have to listen to me.
No, but what'd you say, though?
Sometimes I talk differently.
I'm going to go with... Did I already say it?
You said decision. Marlon
okay,
Marlon
that's
decision,
what I said. Yeah. I'm sticking with it.
James Norton has Marlon by third round knockout. I also had Marlon by third round
knockout. Oh, he just copies me.
And when is the fight on again? When is this?
This card, UFC Fortaleza, is this Saturday, February 2nd. Early prelims are at 5 p.m. Eastern on ESPN+, and the main card is at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN+.
What is that? That's the app.
That's the app, the website, however you want to watch it. You can get it on your smart TV also. Sure. Don't be it's like $50 for the year. You get all these fights. Just do it.
You know what, man? Just do it. Yep. I'll do it.
You do it today. You won't even remember. You'll be watching fights in July. And you'll be like, that's great.
Yeah. Well, it's fair to say I won't remember.
No.
I don't remember a lot. Jimmy?
This was fun.
Jimmy, this was fun. And just now, at an hour 17, at a... Hour at an hour and 18
an hour plus
right now is when you just hit the fan.
Yeah, because
not hit the fan.
I'm the wall.
Hit the wall.
I'm just tired.
you don't want to hit a fan, Jimmy.
No, I know.
You know? And especially the UFC Unfiltered fan. One of our army.
We had thank you by the way to Mark Henry and Paige Van Zandt.
I didn't thank you, Jimmy.
No,
Jimmy, thank you for this. Because we do have a good time.
You're welcome.
What about that Ron Funch?
Ron Funches, yeah.
Funches.
He was great.
Giggle Fit.
Very funny guy.
People watch Giggle Fit. I give him another shout out because I had such a good time with him in here. I feel like I have a new acquaintance. I'm not going to say friend. It's a little
hard.
You're my friend. Yes. Chris is my friend.
Yeah.
Oh.
You thought I was going to say acquaintance.
No, are you my friend, Jack? Jack, say you're my friend in the boogie nights. Colonel.
It creep. All right. Hey, listen to me, man. I don't want this thing to be over, but it has to be, Jimmy. You know, anything to plug, Jim?
No, that's it. I'm going to be in Rochester in May. That's it.
I gotta stop putting my tongue in the side of my mouth like this, like a lizard.
I got a place you can put
sometimes, it. I do because I don't want like the white stuff in my mouth.
That's where it ends. Well,
all right, everybody.
See ya.
Goodbye.
All right, now remember to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, radio.com/UFC Unfiltered, or wherever you get your shows. Not my business.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.